Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. I am Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We are, it's got so many things going on in the studio today, it's kind of tough to keep up with what's happening. We have been talking about the government shutdown. We're at the point of decision. God's people are at the point of decision. What are we going to do? And, you know, we've got to just choose God. You've got to begin to get back in the ways of God and realize that God's a good choice. God is a really good choice. And we've been talking about Jesus the Organizer. And if you missed it, you need to catch up with it. And you can do it by listening to the first hour and begin to listen. It's just, you know, a light conversation. We're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. We've been commanded by God himself through his son, Jesus Christ, the Supreme Organizer, to be the light of the world. I mean, this is not like, hey, I would just like to have a program on TV across the nation where I could just, no, this is about, we have a command that we have to be the light of the world. I mean, if somebody snuffs their light out, and this, I mean, that's at least, you didn't take it out. And we just want to give a big shout out to all of our viewers and across the nation in CTN, Christian Television Network. We're so glad to be able to have you. Let's join us. We thank you for our sponsors and our underwriters and our partners. It means so much to us that it's your gifts. And we believe, we have no doubt, that this is a network that God is building. But the way God does things is that he touches the heart of his people and they give towards it, but then he's the one that builds it because only God can build what is his. No hand can build what is God. So I want to encourage you today. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. Just follow the promptings or become an underwriter. It's real simple to do. VFNTV.com.
Greg, we have breaking news. Fox News is reporting that the Senate aide confirms Reid McConnell budget deal finalized. And now
Reid McConnell?
Reid McConnell. Oh, okay. And that it's going to now go to the House to get approval. But that just came out just now. Breaking news.
Well, you know, this just kind of totally makes me think about what you're seeing is the House really should have began the, because that's the representative view. We're going to go with those details. But years ago, there was this particular cartoon that kind of helped people understand government. It was called I'm Just a Bill. Remember, I was in Washington, D.C. with you, sitting on the steps, acting like this cartoon, because he's like, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And what they're doing is they're throwing it back and forth from Congress to Senate, Congress to Senate, and that Congress, what you have now is two people from your state determining what 40 people from your state are going to do, unless the representatives in the House, and pray for them today that they would hear from God and stand for what's right, that we don't let ourselves get nudged into a place of darkness and say, just give them what they want, because that's exactly the Alinsky tactics they're being used. But just for a moment, I want you to hear, this is a short little moment that kind of tells you how the progression of bills take place and laws take place. Listen up. It's kind of funny, but true.
Woo. You sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee, but I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will, but today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, you're right, there ought to be a law. Then he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while a few key congressmen discuss and debate whether they should let me be a law. I hope and pray that they will, but today I am still just a bill.
Listen, of those congressmen arguing. Is all that discussion and debate about you?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky ones. Most bills never even get this far. I hope they decide to report on me favorably, otherwise I may die.
Die?
Yeah, die in committee. Oh, but it looks like I'm going to live. Now I go to the House of Representatives and they vote on me.
If they vote yes, what happens?
Then I go to the Senate and the whole thing starts all over again.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And if they vote for me on Capitol Hill, well, then I'm off to the White House where I'll wait in a line with a lot of other bills for the president to sign. And if he signs me, then I'll be a law. How I hope and pray that he will. But today I am still just a bill.
You mean even if the whole Congress says you should be a law, the president can still say no?
Yes, that's called a veto. If the president vetoes me, I have to go back to Congress and they vote on me again, and by that time you're so
old. By that time, it's very unlikely that you become a law. It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
Well, here we are. I mean, that is such a good explanation of what has taken place in today. I mean, things are kind of going back and forth. There's nothing wrong with the context of that. But there is, we have also available to you, we're going to be able to make available, hoping in just a moment, they're going to pull that up. You may have it also in your files over there, is understanding how this whole thing works and what is the goal. What are people looking for? What are they trying to work out? In regards to, government. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. What are they trying to do right now? As a matter of fact, when we get back from this break in just a moment, we're going to hear something that's going to make a lot of sense to you as you're seeing it take place and before our very eyes.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
When the kids are young, it feels impossible trying to find time for yourself and your spouse. But you have to do that for the sake of your sanity and the strength of your marriage. This is John Fuller, and therapist Terry Reiser offers this reminder on today's Focus on the Family Minute.
If you believe that these things have to be a high priority, that you must nurture yourself, all aspects of yourself, that you must nurture the marriage relationship, and that those two areas have to be put ahead of the children, then that means, yes, because children are so demanding and so 24/7, that'll take some real intentionality, which means you may have to swap out with a friend. You may have to crawl begging to your parents, you know, for a regular, you know, babysitting slot. Whatever it takes, you have to. You can't go for 4, 5, 6 years of these earliest years without nurturing yourself and the marriage relationship.
You'll find trusted advice for your relationship at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Ooh. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else. And you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever. They are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell,
mm-hmm,
and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father.
meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were talking about what's taking place in here, and we just lost the feed. I got to pull it back up again for you. And it is so amazing. Oh, it's up?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, we got it up. I want you to hear this. I want you to get it ready. Pull it in the, if you can pull it in there so they can see it, Pat. And this is such a cartoon that was written, and the cartoon was written, I believe, and I can't see it there, but I think it was in 1938 or,
Blues.
What I got. Let me do it again. Here we go.
It was 1948.
It was 1948, and we're in the same situation that we're in now. The same situation, 1948, by the Harding College that actually had done it at that particular time. And if you can pull that up, get that ready for us. You got to hear this. This is a cartoon, but this is kind of the difference between capitalism, socialism, communism. This is the difference between one nation under God and one nation under government. Because the only way America works, the original Founding Fathers' idea, is that if we are under God. But if we're not under God, that void's going to be filled by being under men. Listen to this.
America is many things to many people. To a 17-year-old kid, it's the malt shop on the corner. To Grandpa, it's the front porch in the cool of the evening. To Mother and her family, it's church on Sunday morning. And to Dad, it's his favorite relaxation. It's the Cracker Barrel philosophers in Crabtree Corners. And it's the tycoons in Wall Street. It's all races, creeds, and religions. It's freedom to work at the job you like. Freedom of speech and to peaceably assemble. Freedom to own property. Security from unlawful search or seizure.
Where's your warrant, Flatfoot?
The right to a speedy and public trial. Protection against cruel punishments and excessive fines. The right to vote. And to worship God in your own way. It is these freedoms that have made America strong.
Okay, okay, so we got our freedom. But management's lousing up everything.
Labor is at fault. It's ruining the country.
My constituents. As your elected representative, I can assure you labor's right. Management's right. I'm strictly neutral.
Labor, management, politicians, phooey. They can't tell corn from oats.
What?
It will be taking money out of
Hurry, step right up, folks. Here's the answer to your problems. Dr. Utopia's sensational new discovery, ism. Ism will cure any ailment of the body politic. It's terrific. It's tremendous. Once you swallow the contents of this bottle, you'll have the bountiful benefit of higher wages, shorter hours, and security. Enormous profits. No strikes. Remember, you're the big boss. Government control. No worry about votes. Name your own salary. Bigger crops. Lower costs. Why, ism even makes the weather perfect every day. And now then, because we are introducing this amazing item for the first time in this country, it isn't going to cost you 1 cent. All you have to do is sign this little scrap of paper, and you get your bottle absolutely free.
I hereby turn over to ISM Incorporated everything I have, including my freedom and the freedom of my children and my children's children, in return for which said ism promises to take care of me forever.
Pardon me. Pardon me.
And who are you, my good man?
I'm John Q. Public.
Ah, my fine friend, you're just in time to share this generous and gigantic offer. Sign right here.
Mind if I read it first?
Hurry up!
Keep your shirts on, boys. You know, including my freedom. Freedom? Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us. For example, back in the 1890s, Joe Doakes was just a guy who liked to tinker around his barn. Some people thought Joe was lazy. Some even thought he was nuts. But one day, he had an idea. And because he was free to dream his dream and tinker, Joe had a chance to make something of himself and his idea. So... some people didn't think so much of Joe's idea. But that didn't stop him. So Joe got some money from young Aunt Minnie and Uncle Angus and Grandpappy and Mr. Titus. When Joe's friends and relatives used their savings to help him buy tools and property, they were capitalists. Don't blush, folks. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Now, naturally, Joe needed some help. So he hired Willie Lumpkin, who was out of work anyway, and before long, Willie had the know-how and became skilled laborer. Because capital, management, and labor worked together, Joe's idea grew. It grew and did things even he never dreamed of. Today, the automobile industry provides millions of jobs that never existed before. And remember, this is a story of only one industry. There are thousands more scattered all over the United States whose history of development is pretty much the same. We've built a country under the American system that sends more young people to high school and college than all the rest of the world combined. Why, even in the Depression, our wages bought more food, clothing, travel, and entertainment than the wages of any other people in the world. Our country has a national income equal to the total national incomes of any other six nation in the world. With only 7% of the Earth's we drive 70% of the world's automobiles. That's just a sample of the things the capitalistic system has given us in only 160 years. Before signing up, you boys ought to try a little taste of Dr. Ism's formula to see what you'd get in exchange for your freedom. Go ahead, try it.
To me, I'll strike!
The state forbids strikes.
Wait till the union hears about this!
Ah, yes, the union. Welcome to our ranks, number 1313.
I'll take this case to the Supreme Court.
The state is the Supreme Court. Our decision is as follows. No more private property. No more you.
Well, the farm voted put a stop to this.
Farmers don't vote anymore.
What'll I do for seed next year?
You won't have to worry about next year. The state will do your planning from now on.
We
must fight to regain our freedom, or everything is lost. Everything!
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
When anybody preaches disunity, tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance, you know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives. And we know what to do about it.
And now, gentlemen, no violence, please. And don't throw those bottles. Don't throw those bottles! No! Oh, no! No! Hey! Hey! No! Hey!
Working together to produce an ever greater abundance of material and spiritual values for all. That is the secret of American prosperity.
Well, here we are. Isn't that amazing? In 1948, at 160 year of our birthday, at 160 years at that point, they actually understood what we've forgotten now in 2013. And here we are at that point. I mean, everybody's got their ism juice. You know, was it socialism? Was it communism? People don't, you understand, people say, people talk about communism and socialism and whatever isms. Like, they don't care what name you put in it. What, right. what they're saying is, hey, the government's going to take care of me. They don't care what you, that's why people are having arguments about the verbiage, you know, communism. They don't care what it's called. I mean, what you call it whatever you want to, as long as you're going to take care of my PlayStation, yeah. Mm-hmm. And my mobile device and my food and my housing. And it's just like China right now. Mm-hmm. China, there is no publicly owned land, and it's all owned by the government. No privately owned land in China other than just a few cronies right now that they're paying off after all these years. But really, I mean, China's huge. And you think like 99.9999999999 et cetera percent of that property is owned by the government. That's communism. And that is the isms that we want to talk that's going on right now. That's what this whole thing is being organized against. That's all we want organized for, to be able to bring us up under something other than God.
Yeah.
And so the choice, I mean, think about the timing. Here we are today, right now, this one, it's not, I mean, so you could, you could go to the VFN Torch and you could see this cartoon that was written, that was done by Hardin College in 1948, and just realize that's exactly what's going on. I'm just a bill, which is in the 70s, and the Hardin cartoon in 1948 about isms explain it. And it's interesting, too, on the very front of the cartoon, when it's starting, they have a picture of a bull, and it says utopia over the top of it. In other words, men trying to develop and design the perfect system that causes men to, and everybody's like, hey, you're going to let me live in utopia? But it never ends up like utopia. Yeah. It never ends up like utopia. Utopia is what's described where God is at this very moment. Streets of gold, no need for sun and moon, because the sun himself is the light in heaven. Understand when there's no more tears and no more pain, that the trees that are along the river that streams from the throne of God has healing properties in it for the ethnos, for the nations. I mean, the awesomeness of God, that is utopia. That's where God has designed. He says, listen, don't worry about it. I'm going away, but I'm coming back for you. I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare for utopia for you. It's called heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth. And the devil, Lucifer, ever since this is his organized effort, his Alinsky effort in the throne room of God that got him cast down to earth, he's been trying to cause you to think he can develop a utopia here on earth. But this is, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness covers men. Even with men with good intentions, they can't do it. We have to have the light. We have to have God to survive this life, because there's so much darkness down here. Remember, we talked about it, that even Jesus himself was offered the kingdoms of this world because Lucifer said, they've been given to me. I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. Listen, I'll develop a utopia for you, Jesus. I'll do something for you. And Jesus is like, are you serious? You know, he understood. No, I don't think so. You know, it's written that you just worship God and him only. I'm not going to worship you. I don't care. But he understood. Listen, not only that, he was going to leave this earth and arise to go sit at the right hand of the Father while he was building utopia for you. So yeah, There's something inside of you that says there's a better place. There's something inside of you that says, I want to go to a place where there's no sickness, no disease, none of this arguing and fighting and division and sin and darkness and temptation and evil and just all the oppression. And there is a place like that. Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would have told you. So understand, if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back for you. And see, while this distance between him building you a place, utopia, and coming back for you, Lucifer's cranking up a notch, trying to take as many people into his false utopias that end up always in camps, trains, bondage, and the Wendy's-type commercials that we were talking about where the humor was, they didn't have but one gray dress, and they just wore it for evening wear with a flashlight, and they wore it for day wear without a flashlight. I mean, because what happens is people's desire to do what God's designed us to do, which is create and build and God bless the work of our hands, they stop having that desire anymore. And when you stop working, money stops happening, food stops growing, and all of a sudden people become oppressed, and all of a sudden they start thinking about eliminating people, and you know, you've lived long enough. I mean, you're already at 21. I mean, look at all the life that you've had already. I mean, you know, things start happening like that.
You're consuming too many resources.
Yes, yes, you're consuming too many resources. And besides, we want you to die in our utopia, not be born again in Jesus's utopia, to live forever, forever in eternity, where there is no shadow of turning of his presence. And so, yeah, the desire inside of you for a utopia that the enemy Lucifer tries to pervert is perverted. It's turned. Mm-hmm. It's not the real deal. Go just look at history. Just. I know it's difficult. Switch off your PlayStation just for a moment. Turn off your reality TV just for a moment and look back at the reality TV of history. Go to the History Channel, will even tell you. Look up for some things happening, how it happened in history. The utopia that Hitler promised the German people, and he promised them. He promised them under great financial crisis. He said, listen, I'll take care of you. I will take care of you. And when he did that, it ended up with the destruction of God's people, the Jews, the Christians, and all the ones they did not want in society. We have to pay attention. Join us after this break on the other side. We're going to continue this conversation about Jesus the Organizer. Jesus the Organizer.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
We found another way. how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is a choir. A choir.
It's stereo.
I'm Greg Lancaster, and Pat and John's here with me. It's, man, my goodness, it's amazing. You've got to hear the whole program. You got to go to the VFN Torch and see, I'm just a Bill. From the 70s, in 1948, simple cartoon that explains what took place in Lucifer's rebellion in the beginning, but also in the rebellion that was taking place in 1948, when they were, you think about it, you had World War One and World War Two was going on, and it's like people are wanting. I mean, obviously, you know that the enemy of America, for example, they would prefer to take America down without a shot. You know, without having to go to war. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how wars happen. It was a Ferdinand moment, you know, and it was like, oh, we've had about 1,000 Ferdinand moments. Dear
Pick
God,
one.
Keep us from war, Lord. Keep us, keep the church, repent. You know, we don't need something. But I know what God laid on my heart, you know, early on. I remember telling my son that there very well could be dust on your boots. Because you may have to be in the Middle East, because they might get us into something that we can't get out. And I was like, dear Lord, keep us out of war, Lord, and bring our troops home, bring them home safely. We don't want Middle Eastern dust on our feet anymore. And we thank you for all the soldiers that stood up for us. And so I'm talking about, you know, Jesus, the organizer. And I realized when I was progressing through, understandings, watching, like, okay, we had Saul the organizer. Now Jesus is organizing. Immediately he became the organizer of Saul, who became Paul. And we realize God is organizing everything up under his son. He made him the supreme organizer. And then we realize at that point that how he organizes his church, he does it by giving gifts. He gives gifts to his, this is how he chooses to organize. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4:11 through 16, he says, so he gave, Christ gave gifts to the church. And he says in Ephesians chapter 4, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Who's Christ himself? The supreme organizer. Mm. So he developed an organism, not organization, an organism in the family, that he says, hey, listen to them. I'm going to speak to you through them. Listen to them, because I'm organizing this thing, and the Father's pleased with me, and he's going to bring everything up under me. And once he brings it up under my foot, I'm going to put it back under him. And it's like, this is like, oh my goodness. And so how does the chief organizer, supreme organizer of the church, Jesus Christ, how does he organize? He organizes because he gives the fivefold ministry. He gives the gifts. So it was Christ himself who gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These are not positions to be sought. These are calls from the chief organizer. The supreme organizer says, I want you to teach. I want you to be an apostle. I want you to prophesy. I want you to be a prophet, not prophesy. I want you to evangelize. You know, I want you to be a pastor. And he puts a call on your life. And it's not a call so you can begin to organize his church like Korah or like Absalom, or like Lucifer. It's so you can listen to him. And the statistics, according to George Barna, says that so many people who say they have a call in their life, they say they don't have time to pray. They don't have time to read their Bible anymore, but they continue to teach. They can just, like, okay, at that point, you've become the organizer.
Yeah.
Once you quit talking to the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ, and you don't have time to talk to him anymore. You don't believe anymore that he is the one over the church. You don't believe anymore that he is the supreme organizer and that God sent him to organize us, the church, and bring us into relationship through him. And when you ain't got time to talk to him, you're just like Korah.
Mm-hmm.
You're organizing your own little thing. You're preaching your own kingdom.
Yeah. You know, it's also called the five-finger hand of God.
Yes.
It matters whose hand is orchestrating.
Right.
This is God's hand who's orchestrating the gifts as opposed to an organizer, quote-unquote, hand on things stirring and organizing.
Right. And so God's hand organizes the church. It's an organizer. He organizes. Mm-hmm. He goes, just like Azusa Street Revival. You know, we're here, by the way, because Jesus organized this here. He says, listen, he brought things together. I didn't bring this together. Did you bring this together?
No, I sure didn't.
Did you, John, bring this together? Who organized us?
That would be God.
That was God. You know, and you know, obviously Lucifer's going to say something different because it's like makes him look like, what about my techniques? Like, dude, we just listen to, you know what I'm saying? This is just God.
Jesus.
That's how we can have confidence in knowing that he's going to fulfill whatever he wants to do with what we're doing on VFN TV around the nation on CTN, Christian Television Network. And so I want to say this to you this is how the supreme organizer, Jesus the organizer, organizes his body, his organism, the church, which he's the head of. He gives apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And then he says, he goes on to say in verse 12 of Ephesians 4, he says, to equip his people for works of service. So then he is training us up to do something. And it's like, because see, I got to tell you right now, because a lot of people are shutting down on this, and they're thinking there ain't nothing they're supposed to do. And it's like all you needed was two evangelists, one to win you to God and one to shoot you so you can be with God. And that is a lie from the pits of Lucifer's hell, that you are called, you have a purpose on your life, and you're not called to be your own God. And somebody's convinced you that you can live your life for you can spend your money on you can do everything for you and love yourself with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to mention God, give him an honorable mention, maybe once an Easter or once a whatever, or once even a Sunday. And you really think you can stand before the light in the midst of all that darkness, and he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, because you mentioned my name. Demons believe in me and tremble. So listen to me. I'm telling you. Don't just throw out the fact that it's like, because what happens, you have a lot of rebellious people who don't want to be organized under anything. Mm. And that's who I'm talking to right now. Realize that God puts authority in his church under him, and he begins to establish them to organize. And we're supposed to do what Peter says, because to rebel against Peter is to rebel against the organizer. If we do our own thing, we're rebelling against the Spirit of God, the Son of God, God himself, right?
That's right.
They're his servants to be able to organize you, right? Under his leadership. He says, send this one here, bring that one here, do this, go pray for that one, go cover his eyes with your hand so I can remove the blinders from his eyes. Go witness to this person. Talk to that person. Plant a church here. Don't plant a church there. Shut the doors on this church here. You know, give there. Give an offering here. Go out there and plant an orphanage. Go out here and preach the gospel. That's him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say no to him, because a lot of people are saying no to Lucifer's tactics because they got their own personal Lucifer tactics. They got their own like little thing going on where they're going to organize their own life. And it's like, it's the same devil, the same darkness. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip his people for service. So there's something you're supposed to do, dude. And you got to get up under his organization and how his organism, what he's doing and how, and he does it through the fivefold aspect of the ministry to equip you for service so that the body of Christ, his body, of which he's the head of, may be built up. Listen, the reason why we're so, you know, just not built up right now is because we haven't allowed Jesus Christ to organize us. We haven't listened to the chief organizer. We've been coming up with our own doctrines and 97% not even reading the word according to George Barna to be able to apply it to our life. 81% not even picking it up by calling themselves a Christian. Not even caring about what the chief organizer has to say about our life and work, as if we can call our, and we can write our own Bibles and our own words. No wonder people come out with stuff like there's no more hell anymore. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to preach about the blood and you don't preach about the cross. And all of a sudden, you know what? It's all good. It's all good. You know, yeah. Lucifer's saved. Okay. Crickets. Jiminy Lucifer crickets. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's like, oh my, there you, that's what I want to hear. That's cool. Is that good?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
Definite.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good. I like that. Anyway, so he says, so Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity. See, we're supposed to be polarized. It's not that we, this whole thing's happening to find out which side you're going to be on. God is allowing this thing to happen right now so you can choose whose side you're going to be on. Mm. This is God. He directs the king's heart like a water course. Quit complaining at God's set man and find out where you're going to set your feet, where you're going to set your belief on. You're complaining at horizontal argument that has nothing to do with your vertical issues. Mm. It has to do with you and God. Mm. What are you going to do with God? And listen, he's more powerful. Oh my goodness. My goodness. We're going to talk about in the very last tactic of these tactics is, you know, the enemy wants to get you to pick a side, you know, like people side, a horizontal side. But this is what God says. Hey, I'm on my own side.
That's
so
right.
If you want to get on the right side, the polarized side, that's the side of God. That's the side of God, because he wasn't even on Joshua's side. He was on his own side.
Mm.
And so he says, listen to this. He says, the purpose of all this, as he's organizing his church, is to train you for works of service, to reach unity, to build you up in the knowledge of the Son of God, to become mature, attaining the whole measure in the fullness of the supreme organizer. In other words, so you can do what he's organizing you to do, so you can function as the holy narrative from heaven that says, go into all the world and tell them I love them and I have a plan for their life, that they're under a blanket of darkness and thick darkness is over them. But I've come as the light into the world. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is over you. To be torchbearers. To be bringing hope. Listen, I got a hope. I know about a hope that will not disappoint you. It's the hope that comes in Jesus Christ. This is a great day because finally a polarization has taken place where you got to choose today who you're going to serve. And it helps you out to realize you were serving a whole bunch of gods, and one of them was you. Mm. It's time to make a decision. Who are you going to serve? Who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you? And so this supreme organizer, Jesus the organizer, goes on to verse 14. He says, once we are under that organized effort of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, he says, then we will no longer be infants. Think about that. Tossed back and forth by every wave, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, every Alinsky 101 concept coming up out of the next prison cell. Mm. It says, you'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by every wave, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunningness and the craftiness of people and their deceitful schemes. You see what it is? See, I got to talk to you right now. You know, Lucifer is known for rebellion. And if you have never been willing to be organized by Jesus Christ, if you've never been willing to submit to his leadership, you're in the Lucifer rebellion. Mm. You're in the core of rebellion. You're in the Absalom rebellion. I know you have a lot of company. But remember this. You answer alone before the throne of God. No witnesses, no suspects, no organizers. You stand before the organizer himself. And you give an account for your life. And he's going to ask you, who did you say I was?
Mm.
What did you do with the light that I gave you? What did you do with the time? Did you ever allow me to organize you? Did you ever allow me to transform your thinking, your mind? Did you ever allow me to renew who you were? Oh, but I cast out demons. Oh, I preached messages. I sang songs. And people applauded. Then he says, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 7. He says, but you don't understand. I, the organizer, never knew you. You never trusted me as the Lord of your life. You never allowed me. Yeah, yeah. You're jumping in against what's taking place in Lucifer's tactics and the Alinsky 101 tactics going on. But you know what? You do that to anybody who wants to have any control, any management over your life. You're just rebellious. It's a spirit of rebellion. And he says that in the last days, that would be a sign. A sign would be a great rebellion, a falling away from the organizer, a falling away from the faith. And it's like, you know what? Here I am, God. Organize me.
Hmm.
Organize me as a person. Organize me as a man. Organize my marriage. Organize with your word my family. Organize my finances. Think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my goodness. It's not the fact that a lot of people who call themselves Christians are coming against these Lucifer tactics in society. The thing is that you're in the same darkness, and that's why they have victory over you. They have victory over you because you're one and the same. The head supreme organizer don't know them, and I don't care what you did in his name. If you're not allowing him to organize you, he don't know you. But you can choose today. You know what? I want to know you, Jesus. I don't want to just hang around the cross. I'm ready to get on the cross and deny my... Religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. It's saying, you know, here I am, God. Here I am. I'm all yours. I'm all in. I'm sold out. I'm all yours. I don't know what was going on in America, but I've jumped ahead, and I realized that the very word of God that you put in my hand, the light of God, the organization's plan that you've given me in my life, I'm going to apply that to my life, and I'm going to follow you as my supreme organizer, as God organizes me and everything else on the face of this earth and this universe up under you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
If I... were the devil. If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct, I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. That was from 1965, Paul Harvey, and it is so, everything just repeats itself. I want to continue on. Jesus the Organizer. Jesus the Organizer. We got to understand that we need to be understand up under the hand of God, which is his son, Jesus Christ, and the gifts that he gives to the, not the people who say they're the gifts, the ones who know them by their fruit, what they're doing. Jesus said, you'll know who the true gifts are that he gives to the church by their fruit. He says, many people will come and they will be falsely in these places. They'll be false. Listen, by the way, there's more about false pastors in the Word of God than there's about false prophets. But there'll be false apostles, false pastors, false preachers, teachers, and evangelists. So you have to find out, you know, the fact is there, but there's true ones, and you got to find out by their fruit. And so you got to find that who that is that God's calling you to relate to and connect and say, there I am, God, up under your hand, organize me. Because he goes on to say in Ephesians 14, as I was saying, he says, when we begin to do this, all of a sudden our life's not chaotic anymore. We're not tossed back and forth. We're not easily kind of pushed by these Lucifer-type tactics that are going on. He says, but instead, in verse 15, speaking the truth in love, because we know it, we've been trained up in it, we will grow and become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ Jesus. In other words, we'll become like the organizer. We'll become like Jesus. That is amazing. And he organizes us in love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion, not tyrannical leadership, which happens in Lucifer's stuff. For him, the whole organism, the church, for him, the whole body, for him, the whole body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its organized work. What are you talking about? How could that be? Because then I looked a little bit further, and I said, here, where Paul's writing a letter, because he actually went to the third heaven, and he saw things he couldn't even write about, but he wrote half of the New Testament. He's talking in this letter to the church of Corinth, and he's talking about the orders from the supreme organizer himself, Jesus Christ, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he talks about not only does he give these five gifts, but then he actually gives three things here. He says, this is another way that he organizes us and directs us in the context of it. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same, capital S, Spirit distributes them. Son, you don't distribute those gifts. Mm-mm. The supreme organizer distributes those gifts. Don't you be telling people that you're the one that's doing that.
That's right.
You can only recognize what the supreme organizer has revealed to you, and you give him all the glory and all the credit. And then he goes on to say this, speaking to the chief organizer, he says, there are different kinds of services. Okay, if there's different kinds of gifts, different kinds of services, but the same organizer, but the same Lord. You see what I'm saying? I don't care what your gift is. I don't care what your service is. I want to know who your organizer is. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Is your organizer Lucifer? Korah? Or is your organizer Jesus Christ? So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same organizer, the same Spirit who distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord, the same organizer. And then he goes this. He says, and there are different kinds of workings. Different kind of workings. But in all of them, in every one, there is the same God, the same organizer who works them. I don't care whether it's a gift. I don't care whether it's a service. And I don't care if it's a works. Let me tell you something. What I want to know is, who's organizing you? Because, see, you can bring the gift they're given without repentance. But read Matthew 7, what the Supreme Organizer said. He says, plenty of people are going to come to me in the last day, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, well, you know, I'm not Lord of you because you would have let me organize you. That means I'm over you. That means that you were following me. But they're going to say it. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not in your name? And they're going to talk about gifts. They're going to talk about services. And they're going to talk about workings. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. See, you were being organized by Lucifer. You were being organized by the father of lies. Yeah, you were listening to a voice, all right. But it was the voice of Lucifer, who was a liar from the beginning, the father of lies. Listen, I got a great, great, great thing to tell you. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, so that you, if you accept his supreme organization in regards to how he organized all of creation so that you can have access to him through his son, Jesus Christ, if you make Jesus Christ the supreme organizer of your life, the one who calls the shots 24/7 in your life, you will enter into the kingdom and the utopia. Oh my goodness. No more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, and not for this life, but for eternity with God. Yes, there is an organizer in the church, and his name is Jesus Christ, the supreme organizer. And I don't want to go into a lot of details with this, but let me take it to the next level. I even found out that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26 through 40, he even organizes what it's like when you come together. He says, okay, not only am I the one that's organizing who gets the gift and who gets this gift, not only am I organizing the one and Lord over when those gifts are used and what happens when those gifts are used, but I want it to move like an orchestra. Okay, I'll let two of you move in your gift, prophesy. Okay, shh, shh, shh. Okay, no, you. Do your, it's him. He's just orchestrating things and orchestrating things. And it's like, and how in the world do you think you can blow your horn anytime you want to when you call yourself being an orchestra? You're nothing but a tingling cymbal and a gonging gong. I mean, so you're just
a noisemaker.
A noisemaker. And the thing is that understand the reason why we call him Lord is because he is. Mm-hmm. But, you know, since we're into the understanding of being organized, think of it this way. He is our organizer. He tells us everything to do, and we do it. Why? Because he loves us, and we love him, and he's right. And his plans are good. They're good towards you. Plans to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years this darkness and all those false utopias have destroyed in your life. Listen, give your life to Jesus today. You can find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.